Kings chapter number 17. And my own brother Mike, everything okay? It's a rather unusual text for a Mother's Day message, but as sure as I'm standing here, the Lord gave me this text. I kept trying to get away from it. I'm thinking this is more about the man of God than it is about the mother, and the more I delved into the text, the more I saw the significance of the mother. Now, as we read it, I'm going to read this text in just a minute. You're going to see a mother who is really rather insignificant. She has not accumulated a lot of wealth. She has no power, no strength. Seemingly, she cannot deliver her family out of the situation she's in. She really has nothing. And from an earthly perspective, she really doesn't have anything. But the Lord uses her to deliver her son. And I want you to kind of get that in your mind. An insignificant mother who made a great difference in her child's life. Let me say that to you again, because really we're just ordinary, normal, ordinary people. An insignificant mother who made a great difference in her child's life. And I'll go ahead and say this, if she did, so can you. Mom, so can you. And I want to say this before I get started. I think a godly mother is a powerful tool in the hand of God. I believe that. And so we could say a lot about her, but what you're going to see in this story, her son's life was saved because of her. And that's really the gist of where I'm at today. Mom, I want to say this. It may very well be your child's spiritual life is resting in what you do. And I'm not downplaying the head of the household or the father, not at all. But many times the mother plays a key role in the future of her children. And that's what we're going to see. So I want to read this to you, and then maybe share with you. The fact of the matter is this. If you look, everybody's life she touched was made better because of her. Not just her son, but what about the man of God? And what about the Lord himself? As we read this, I want you to ask yourself, did he get glory out of her life? And I think you will say yes. No doubt in my mind, her husband was better off for her being part of his life. And so let's read, and then I'll share with you the message. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Just a widow woman. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Let me read just another verse or two. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Now, as I read that text, it seems to me the emphasis is on the man of God and on the meal barrel. And I started thinking about that. Here's a little widow mother, single mother, whatever word you want to use. And the story is about her and her a relationship she had with the man of God. Now, I understand that's different in our day, and it has to be because of the issues of morality and all that goes on in her life. But if you just stop for a little bit and focus on this helpless, insignificant mother who helped and was significant in providing life to her son, there are some truths that we can see that might help us as godly, and I'm preaching to the mothers this morning, as godly mothers. She had no particular great talents or abilities that we recognize, no great assets, yet she made a difference in her son's life as well as the man of God's life. And my question to this mom, if you're sitting here, and here's what many mothers, I think, say to themselves, I'm just ordinary. I'm just a regular person. I'm just this or I'm just that. And really, I can't do a whole lot. Can I say if this insignificant mother was able to influence her child's life, mom, so can you. I want you to get that truth. Mom, you may not make a difference in a lot of folks' lives, but you can make a difference in your child's life. I believe that with all my heart. And so my question is, and I've just got, if I don't go quickly, I won't get through all these. How did she do it? How did this mother, what did she have in her life? She had no money. She had no miraculous healing abilities. She had a lot of things that she could not do and was not able to do. She apparently had no relatives who she could turn to for help. How did she help her child? And here's what I want to ask you before I begin. Mom, would you like to be instrumental in the life of your children and make a difference in her life? And I just want to look... I want to look quickly at about, well, several things I don't want to tell you. It would scare you if I told you how many I have. But number one, she was knowledgeable of God's will for her life. She knew what God wanted and expected out of her life. She didn't. Notice with me in verse number 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, I'm going to say it that way, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Notice this. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now I want you just to stop and think about this situation. Here's a woman that doesn't have enough food to feed herself and her son, and no way to get food as far as the text goes. But she knows that God has told her she's going to sustain a prophet. She knew what God's will for her life was. Mom, you can take this precious old word of God and you can find out what the will of God for your life is. And you may be like her. You may not know how you can do it. No doubt when she heard from God that she was going to sustain the prophet, no doubt in her mind she thought that's impossible. She may have even laughed. She may have thought, I can't even feed myself or my son. I accept it. I have no assets. I have no one to help me. It seemed impossible, but she did not put up excuses or make arguments, even like the great Moses did. She had a knowledge of God's will. She did not make excuses, but accepted that will and done the best she could with it. I want to stop, Mom, and say this. This Bible tells you how you ought to live. And my, we've had preacher after preacher come through and preach to us how we ought to live. And the fact of the matter is, until you have a knowledge of what God expects out of a godly mother and a godly woman, I'm not sure you'll ever make much difference in anybody's life. I want us to just go slow and say that. She's knowledgeable. And she doesn't make any excuses. She doesn't argue. She doesn't argue with God why she can't. Why it's impossible. Why there's no way. Some of you are maybe sitting there and saying this, I can't be a godly mother. There's no way. Look at the situation I'm in. Look at the means that I have. And you may argue with God. So many times I've done that in my life. I've told God why I can't do what He wants me to do. But here is a widow woman, and she knows what God wants, and she doesn't argue about it. But then I want to say too, I see some things, and we're going to have to get to, before I leave that point, you're going to have to get to that place. What does God want out of your life, Mom? What's He expect out of you? What kind of attitude should you have? What kind of love should you portray? What kind of holiness is expected out of your life, Mom? Do you know what the Word of God teaches? But then not only that, I want to say to you, she had a servant's heart. I want you to notice what she's doing when Elijah shows up. The Bible says in verse 10, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. She's working. She's busy. She has a heart to work and serve her son. That's what she's doing. She's gathering up sticks so she can cook her son a meal. When Elijah shows up, she's working. She's serving her son. Then she serves the man of God. He says, fetch me a little water. And she stops and goes to get him a little water, don't you see? She's not qualified for a lot of things. I'll grant you that. But she can be a servant. And she can do what she can do for the glory of God. And my mom, I want to say this. You may not be a student of this blessed old book. And there's a lot of things you may not be able to sing, like some of these mothers bring their children up and sing with them. It may be you can't do that. It may be a lot of things you can't do. But here's what I'd like to ask you this morning. What can you do? What can you do to be the godly mother that God wants you to do? Can you gather a few sticks and maybe... you can cook your children a meal. You can prepare for the needs of their life and look after that. There's a lot of mothers that doesn't even do that. They're not concerned about the needs of the children. I could really say it this way. She was concerned about the needs of her son. There's a lot of mothers don't care to get you a bowl of cereal, do whatever you need to do, make it the best you can. Yeah, I know that sounds a little harsh, but is that not the world we're living in today? My, I see it all the time. Let me say to you today, Mom, be all you can for your children. You can work and help them and clothe them and see that they have the needs of life that they stand in need of. Oh my, here's a woman, she had nothing, but she had a little meal and she's going to use it for to help her son. She was going to keep on keeping on till she couldn't anymore. My, she had a servant's heart. Mom, do you have a servant's heart? I could just talk about the servant all day. Her life was not about herself. We don't even know her name. Here's what we do know. She's the widow of her husband. She's the subject of the Lord. He's commanding her. We do know she provides for Elijah. We do know she's the mother of the son. We don't know her name. Her identity is lost in the identity of others. And can I say that's what motherhood's all about? I know that sounds odd to you. It's not about your career. It's not about your achievements. It's not about your education. It's not about your advancements. Your life, a godly mother's life, is an identity is carried out and manifested through her children and her husband and those she helps along the way. That's how it is. Mom, do you have to be seen? Does your name have to be in the lights? Do you have to be the center of attention? Can I say, you're missing it if that's the case. You're missing it. Here's a lady, she really, and I'll get to it in a little bit, she was a nobody. And she knew she is a nobody. She admitted that. We never know her name. We just know her in terms of others. And Mom, if you're going to make a difference, you're going to have to do that. And then I want to say this. She was a realist. We live in this make-believe world. These kids, what do they call it? Virtual reality? Where the kids feel like as they play these games, even though it's a game, they feel like that's their life, that's really happening and going on. We live in that world today that folks want to live in some sort of a fairyland. You cannot even have a funeral today and preach on death because they want to celebrate life. And the reason they want to celebrate life, they do not want to face the reality of death. That's what it's all about, because death makes them uncomfortable. And there's many mothers that don't want to face the reality of where their children are at. I would ask you, Mom, today, where is your child at, spiritually speaking? Where's your child at? I would ask you, do you know the facts of your children? Some of you, your child's made a profession, but there's no fruit of salvation. And here's what we say. Well, they're saved. That makes them saved because they profess. There's a lot of professors that are not possessors. And here I'm thinking of one family in particular. Once their daughter got saved, they're through with the church. All they were coming to church for is for her to make a profession. Once she made a profession, they're out of the church, living life, and the home is wrecked today because they would not face the reality of that child's possibility of not being what she professed to be. Wouldn't profess. I don't know where we stand on this, but Mom, is your children saved? Are they saved? Do they have a future? Listen, your child has no future outside of Christ. You say, oh, they've got the best education. They're smart as a whip. They're talented as talented can be. Let me say it again. Outside of Christ, mom, be real. Face reality. Be a realist. Outside of Christ, your child has no future. That's right. They're hopeless. Here's a lady, and she is a realist. Notice what she says in verse number 12. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. She's not bragging about what she's accomplished and how much she's saved up. She's being real. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Here's what she said. My son has no future. My son has no hope. In a little bit, my son's going to be dead, and it's going to be all over. And the fact of the matter is, that was the reality of her situation. I see people all the time that want to be positive about everything. Here's what they say. It's going to work out. Let me give you something sad. Let me say something sad to you. It doesn't always work out. It doesn't always work out. There was a rich man, and he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger. But can I tell you, it didn't work out for him. Not all prodigals make it back home. Some died in a far country. And there's been many a godly mother, listen to me, whose child died lost and went to a devil's hell. It doesn't always work out. We need to be realist. That's the biggest thing I see today. We just will not face the facts of the situation. But here was this one. Mom, are your children saved? That's all I want to ask you this morning. Would you just be real and face the facts if they're lost and on their way to hell, that they're going to hell? If something don't happen, and it won't be long. Really, if they live a full life, life just passes you by. Do you not realize one day you're young and then you're just old and you wonder where it went to? It's just that little vapor that James spoke about. Do you remember that? Oh, here's what I'm saying to you. Be real about the matter. Face the facts, Mom. It'll help you decide what you need to do for your children. I think one of the keys to this lady, as we look at, she is a worker. There's no doubt. She had a servant's heart, but she is a realist. She's not living some fairy land where everything works out. She faces the harsh truths of life, the harsh realities of life. She sees the situation, the facts of her life. And my mom, if you're ever going to make a difference, you're going to have to do that as well. Then I want to say in verse number 12, we see too, she was honest with God's man. She was just honest about the situation. He said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. He said, bring me a little bread to eat with the water. And she said, now look, I guess it was embarrassing to her. How many of you, when you struggle spiritually, it's kind of embarrassing. You don't want anybody to know that about you. Or maybe there's trouble in your life and your kids are acting up and not what they ought to be and doesn't have much hope, but you don't want anybody to know it. You're ashamed. You're embarrassed about your situation, about your family situation. But can I tell you what this woman did? Might just be a good day if we could do this. If we could just be honest-hearted with the Lord and with the man of God, and with each other, if we could just be honest. if we could just say, look, my child's really struggling, would you pray for him? Hey, I know you can pray. I know you can pray. Would you please pray for my boy? He's hopeless. He's in a hopeless situation. That's what she did with this man of God. Why is it we're so proud? We don't even want anybody to know we're in a struggle. And then they can't pray for us. They can't help us. They can't do for us. And I've said this maybe 100 times in this pulpit. It's only honest hearts that get help from the Lord. Go ahead and be a hypocrite and play a role. Put on like everything's going good. But can I tell you, with most of us, things are not going so good. That's right. Now, there's a few of you, everything's going good, but if you've got any age on you, talking to Brother Harrison about it some time back, you think you get grown, all your bills is paid, you got a house, and your children are grown, you think everything's all right, but you just have more troubles then. More concerns. Why don't we just ask one another? Why don't we just be honest hearted and say, look, we don't have much of a future unless something happens. Unless God intervenes, unless some miracle happens in our life, we don't have any hope of anything getting much better, and we're just scraping the bottom of the barrel. Why is it we won't be honest? Here, this little widow woman, she didn't have nothing. She hadn't done very well. Her life's not a success story. She didn't climb the ladder one step at a time, making her way to the top. Here she is. She don't even have a husband. He's dying. And then she's got a son, and they don't have any food. They're at the bottom. They're just at the bottom of the ladder, so to speak. But she had enough God about her to just say, man of God, we're in trouble. Man of God, we're in trouble. Mom, be a happy day. It'd be a happy day when you just say, my children's in trouble. Would you pray? My home's in trouble. I'm not what I ought to be. Would you pray for me? I hear this little widow woman, she is honest with God's man, honest with God, honest with the world. She just said, we're having a hard time. We need help. Really implied in that is I don't have enough to help you. I just can't help you. But I want you to notice what the man of God said. Here's that servant's heart coming out. He said, you just go. Bring it up, make me thereof a little cake, bring it unto me, in verse 14, and after make for thus, for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Notice verse, I'm going to skip verse 14, verse 15, and she went and did. She didn't procrastinate. I see a lot of mamas, they know what they ought to do, but they just can't pull the trigger. They just keep procrastinating on doing the right thing. I think about the great destroyer called procrastination. It destroys spiritual opportunities. It destroys. I've procrastinated about talking to people about the Lord, and then some way or another, our lives just separate. Well, Harrison, you're shaking your head. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. I'll never forget. This has been years ago. I've never forgot it. There's a man sweeping up the post office parking lot with a broom. I don't know what he thought he could do with just a straw broom, but he had a little dust, one of them stand-up dustpans, and he's sweeping up, I guess, the rough spots. And as sure as I'm standing here, the Holy Ghost told me to give him a track. And I was about half whirly that morning, and I just drove out of the parking lot And I finally got up enough God about me to say, I'm going to go back and give him a track. And you know the story. I went back, and the man was gone. And at that time, I had a P.O. box, and I would go every day or two, and I was always looking to see if I could see that man in the parking lot. But can I tell you, church, my procrastination robbed me of an opportunity to be obedient to my Lord. And it will you. It will you. Had she procrastinated very long, her son would be dead. And I want to say to you, Mom, if you procrastinate very long from doing what God wants you to do and being what you ought to be, your children are just with you for a little while. That's right. They're just here for a little while. And about 15 or 16, when they start driving, getting little independence, they're really, you've done your due, if I can say it that way. If you hadn't got them to respect you, and if you hadn't taught them and won them over to the truths of the Word of God, by the time they're 15 or 16, you've probably missed it. That's right. I'm not saying that's a rule in all cases, but I'm saying there's a good chance you missed. They've got what they're going to get. And most of you who's old know I'm telling it right this evening. Don't procrastinate, Mom. Listen at me. When God sends you a message through the man of God, just obey it. Don't put it off. Don't wrestle with it like we've all done so many times. If God speaks to your heart, Mom, do it. Those children will be gone before you know it. They'll be gone, out and gone. She refused to procrastinate. You could read the other verses that teach that same thing. Had she procrastinated, she may have lost her opportunity to save her son's life. They were that close to death. Procrastination sent many souls to hell, made many obedient saints disobedient. Then I want to say this. I need to hurry. She refused to define her life by the circumstances of her life. And I've already alluded to it. Here's what she could have said to the man of God. Man of God, you don't know my circumstance. I've just got enough meal for me and my son, and I can't do anything to help you. She could have said that. She could have let her circumstances define her response to God's message in her life, but she didn't. Circumstances would have said the man of God's only interested in himself. He's self-centered. He actually wants me to cook him a cake before I cook me and my son a cake. She could have let circumstances define the path she took, but she defined her actions by the Word of God from the man of God. And here's all I want to say. And I'm about through this morning. Just bear with me a minute and I'll be through. Don't let circumstances rob you of being obedient. Don't do it. And then I'm just going to say it. Obedience was a priority in her life. Study her life. Her priority was obedience to the Word of God. And I could go as far as to say, from the man of God. Is obedience our priority? I don't know. Sometimes I think it is, sometimes I think it's not. But she obeyed, and you know the story. I don't have to, the meal barrel never run dry. It never went empty. And everything's good and life's going good. But then one day, it's just like life. We just have one problem, then another problem comes along. We about get through one little situation. She got past the mill barrel. And guess what happened? Her son died. Her son died. She's being obedient. She's what she ought to be. And God spared her son only to let him die. And I want you to notice what she realized. In verse 18, she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" Here's what she said. "I'm just a sinner, and you come here so I'd have to pay for my son, my sin with the death of my son." There's that honest heart again. But can I tell you, I see humility there. She realized the blessings of her life was the result of a merciful God. She's a sinner. She knows in her past life there's sin there. And she does not deserve it. And she said this. Let me read that to you again. "Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance?" Oh my, she humbled herself. If I could put it in East Tennessee vernacular, she just said, I know I'm an old sinner. I know I'm an old sinner. Have you come to see that I get paid what I rightfully deserve?" My, here's what the man of God said. "Give me thy son." You know, when we get to this verse, many of us think of Brother Wales' message where he took her burden from her. And I understand great truth there. But I want to look at it like this. When she couldn't help herself, she entrusted her son to a saint of God. She couldn't help him, but she knew one that could help him. She knew one who knew the God. That's how I ought to say it. She knew one who knew God, who she knew could help. God had saved him before. And so Elijah takes the son and delivers him from death again. You might say this to me. You might say, "My child's saved." Can I tell you, he's going to need to be saved again. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. He's going to need to be saved from a defeated Christian life. He's going to needed to be saved from a wrecked life. You know, we just need to be saved all the time from different things, don't we? And you think about these young, mom, think about these young children. They're going to have God or they're going to shipwreck. It's just that simple. My, you need to have a right relationship with the Lord that you can go to the Lord and say, "Look, I know I'm a sinner, but would you show mercy to my son or my daughter," whoever it is. Here's the story. Here's just a nobody mother. But she had some things in her life that God could honor. And this little nobody with no money, no ability, no influence, no wealthy connections, she saved her son's life not once, but twice. And I know it wasn't her, but through her actions, had she not been what she ought to have been, her son most likely would die. I wonder, and I'm not trying to place guilt or make people feel bad, but I just wonder how much. And let me look around here. I've got a daughter that struggles. I wonder how much parenting, ungodly parenting, has come into play on our ungodly children's lives. I don't know. I'm not on a guilt trip or anything like that. I don't want you to think that. I'm sure I failed her. I'm sure. I know I've not been the perfect parent. You probably hadn't either. But here's what I do know. There's one that can help them. They may not have much of a future. It may look bleak. It may be hopeless. But Mom, let me say something to you. If you'll be as much as you can be, you say, I don't have any talent. Pick up a few sticks. Cook a little meal. Get a fetch a little water. Do whatever you can. Look to God and be honest hearted and admit what you are and ask God to help you. And it might just be God will deliver your child. Amen. Oh my, you say, well, he's got some other storms he's going to be needing to be delivered from. Here's what I'm saying. Mom, we need you. We need you to be godly. For the next generation, we need you to be what you ought to be. Let's bow our heads this morning. They're coming to play softly. And I don't know if God spoke to anybody, but he sure has spoke to me. And I know as a mother, but maybe there's a dad. Maybe there's some mom, and just be honest with God and say, I need you to help me. Some dad that says, I need you to help me, Lord. Oh, we need the Lord to deliver our children.